Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. My name is Shai Dvoretsky. I represent the appellant CBS Corporation. Congress enacted Section 1442 and expanded it just last year in order to ensure a federal forum for federal defenses asserted by agents of the federal government who are sued in connection with their acts on behalf of the government. CBS satisfies the requirements of Section 1442 with respect to each of the two theories of liability asserted in the plaintiff's complaint, both failure to warn and design defect. Removal with respect to either theory is independently sufficient to remove the entire case and warrants reversal of the district court's remand order. First, with respect to the design defect theory, the quintessential case for federal removal is one in which a government contractor builds equipment specifically for the military using military specifications, where that equipment includes asbestos, and the contractor, as happened here, is subsequently sued for a product defect on account of that asbestos. The statute is satisfied in that situation on each of its factors. First, CBS is a person. Second, CBS was acting under a federal officer. It was acting pursuant to close supervision by the Navy, and it was helping to fulfill the Navy's duties. Third, CBS is sued for or in relation to acts taken under color of that federal office. It's sued as a result of carrying out its contracts to supply equipment to the Navy using asbestos. Finally, CBS has asserted at least a colorable Boyle defense, a government contractor defense, because, as alleged in the removal notice, the government set forth reasonably precise specifications for the equipment. CBS's equipment conformed to those specifications, and the Navy was aware of the risks of asbestos. All of those factual points are undisputed on the record before this court. On that basis, the district court should have taken those factual assertions at face value and denied the motion to remand. The plaintiff does not contest any of those points with respect to the design defect theory in his brief on appeal. His argument is that he, in fact, never asserted a design defect claim in the complaint. That is belied by the plain language of the complaint. If I could direct the court to the complaint, it's docket number 3-1, paragraph 11 is the operative paragraph. It sets forth one or more respects in which the defendants allegedly acted negligently. It then sets forth seven different ways in which the defendants supposedly violated the law. Two of those, in the middle, have to do with failure to warn. The other five are all design defect allegations. And so the notion that the plaintiff did not assert a design defect claim that supports removal is simply belied by the complaint, and courts have held repeatedly that plaintiffs can't recharacterize a complaint in order to avoid federal jurisdiction after removal was effected.
And there was never any stipulation to limit the causes of action to failure to warn?
No, there was not.
I mean, this proceeded in a rather unorthodox way in the district court in that the remand order was issued before there was an opportunity to respond to the motion to remand.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we tried in several different ways to get an opportunity to respond and to make a complete record for this court, but we were unable to do so. However, the notice of removal speaks for itself as to both the design defect and the failure to warn claims and alleges sufficient facts to justify removal as to both.
And even if there were such a stipulation to limit the cause of action to a failure to warn asbestos claim, we have case law that says Boyle applies to failure to warn claims. So I'm not sure
that's
would get us very far.
Well, that's correct. First of all, I don't think such a stipulation would be effective because the federal jurisdiction would be determined as of the time of removal, not afterwards. But second of all, that leads to the point that the failure to warn claim is also an independent basis for removal and for reversing the district court. As this court said in Oliver, Boyle does apply to a failure to warn claim so long as the government exercised some discretion with respect to the warnings. The only dispute on the failure to warn issue below and before this court is whether the standard is rather that the government has to have precluded the warnings or forbidden them. And this court in Boyle at footnote 8 expressly rejected that argument. The court expressly said that as long as the government does more than rubber stamp the warnings at issue, as long as it exercises some discretion, that creates the implied conflict that Boyle requires in order to provide a government contractor defense. The court rejected the notion that the government has to specifically dictate the warnings provided or prohibit any additional warnings. And the failure to warn issue is one that arises often in the district courts, and I think has created a lot of confusion. And so this court's guidance in correcting the district court's erroneous statement of the law with respect to that claim, I think would do a lot to ensure uniformity and then correct application of this doctrine in the courts below. If the court has no further questions, I'll reserve time for rebuttal, and we ask that the remand order be reversed.
Mr. Rotsky.
Morning. May it please the court. Stephen Oresti from Napoli, Byrne, Rivka, Skolnick for the plaintiff appellee. Your Honor, Plaintiff Ruppel presented a failure to warn case in state court. The defendants then, CBS, removed the case to federal court.
Counsel, this is much more than a failure to warn case. That's just disingenuous for you to stand there and suggest that this is just a failure to warn case.
It's our position that in saying that CBS Westinghouse produce the products, that these are foundational allegations. It would make no sense to allege that CBS failed to warn if they had no connection to the products themselves.
This is a boilerplate asbestos complaint that throws every possible allegation in for negligence and strict products liability, including various iterations of design defect and failure to warn. It's all in here.
Well, Your Honor, the case is not just as to CBS, and it's not just as to his naval experience some 60 years ago. It's also to his civilian career, including exposures that are much more recent in time, which would fall under, potentially under product liability, and would not be precluded by statute of limitations, statute of repose. But as to the naval allegations, we sought to limit those to the failure to warn allegations.
Not in the complaint.
Well, it's our contention that it's what we were trying to do. And when this issue has come up before, as counsel has addressed, and we're trying to narrowly frame the issue so that we could stay in state court.
But then you have to narrowly frame your complaint, which was not done here.
Since the case has gone back to state court, the complaint has been changed and amended, but that's not here before us today. Your Honor, we think the plaintiff is being unfairly punished for the district court's action in remanding it very briefly after the motion remand was presented, but we had no control over the district court's actions. The district court is charged with continually assuring itself that it has jurisdiction, and it does have the right to remand a case if it feels it does not properly belong in the court, just as this court has the right to dispense with oral argument if it feels it's not necessary. It's not something that we had any control over. CBS thinks or asserts that it didn't have a full opportunity to brief the issue, but we note that they did present a motion to reconsider and then sought relief in this court while the motion to reconsider was still pending in the lower court, only having removed it after this court took up the appeal. And we would point out that plaintiff's counsel never had an opportunity to brief that motion, and CBS has asked that the court consider those pleadings that have now been withdrawn from the district court record. If there's no questions, thank you, Your Honor.
If I could, three quick points in response. First of all, there's no basis in the complaint, as Judge Sykes suggested, for limiting the theory as to CBS to failure to warn. The complaint alleges both failure to warn and design defect as to all of the defendants. Second of all, while we did explain in the brief what happened below and how CBS was precluded from making a record, even that record is not necessary in order for this court to reverse the remand order as to both theories, both failure to warn and design defect, because the removal removal petition is broad enough to support removal as to both. It specifically alleges that all aspects of the manufacture, design, and supply necessarily including warnings, were dictated and controlled by the Navy, and that on its face is sufficient to justify removal. If the court has no further questions, we will submit on the briefs.
Thank you. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the fourth case.